Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Payne and Pendergast, Sports Radio 610. So, Seth, there's a Super Bowl this weekend. I don't know if you knew this, but the Super Bowl is on Sunday.
I'm actually, obviously.
The Chiefs of Kansas City are playing the 49ers of San Francisco.
Well, I don't want to make light of this part of it. Is that Kobe, this Kobe tragedy.
True.
It's weird. I don't even want to use the wrong verbiage about it because I genuinely want to be respectful of it. But it's taken a lot of the air out of what typically is going on this time of year, which is talk about the Super Bowl.
It dominated opening night last night at the Super Bowl.
A lot of players getting
asked about it. Yeah. So, but there will be a game on Sunday, and there will be the lead up to it and the build up to it, and I think it's. Look, as somebody who doesn't have a dog in the fight in this Super Bowl, I'm excited for it. The Chiefs and the 49ers, in my opinion, they're the two best teams in football.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have a dog in the fight, that's what you want to see. And I think it's two really interesting matchups. I think there's a lot of people on either side whose legacies stand to benefit greatly from a Super Bowl victory. And I started thinking about that. Okay, like who... Ironically, the person who made me think about it was Tyrann Mathieu. And I'm thinking about this as I was watching him get off the plane... I'm thinking to myself, man, Tyrann Mathieu was in a place, less than 2 years ago, where he was about to get cut by the Arizona Cardinals. He was coming off an ACL, and the previous season had been one of the candidates. I don't know if he was runner-up to JJ for Defensive Player of the Year, but in 2015, that was Tyrann Mathieu's signature season. That was the season that got him his big contract extension with the Cardinals, which they eventually cut him loose from because they felt he was too expensive.
Right.
It was watching
and
him.
He'd actually played. I mean, he'd come off that ACL, but he'd played pretty well. And
yeah.
It was just, he became a free agent in a year where, for whatever reason, and there's all kinds of conspiracy theories about the fact that Eric Reed was a free agent that year, too. Safeties weren't getting anything.
Yeah.
Nobody was even sniffing a safety in free agency.
Right.
It was really weird. So he was just sitting out there.
Yeah.
Just hanging out. Just out there on the market.
Yeah. So the Texans picked him up for a year, 1 year, $7 million. And it was watching Tyrann Mathieu get off the plane where I'm thinking, okay, like, what could a Super Bowl do to his legacy? And look, Tyrann Mathieu was back to being a first team all pro again. If he stays healthy, there's no reason to think he can't notch a couple more of those. If all of a sudden Tyrann Mathieu's getting into a point where he's a 3 or 4 time first team all pro, then you start to get him into these conversations where he's bumping up with the best players of this era of football that he's playing in. And what separates those players, what separates the great from the truly great in those conversations? Usually championships.
Right, right.
And that's what got me thinking, man, Tyrann Mathieu, among the players playing in this Super Bowl, he's probably near the top of the list of the ones standing the most to gain personally from this.
And this is the one, the thing that's strange about Tyrann Mathieu is that he's only in his seventh season. You know, it feels like he's been around forever, doesn't it? It feels like he's an older guy.
Yeah.
As safeties go, because safeties tend to age a little bit better, as long as they're not, you know, giving themselves concussions every time they lay a hit. Mm-hmm. Safeties age pretty well. Now, Tyrann Mathieu's a smaller safety, but you get a feeling that he's kind of settled into where he is, where athletically, because of his injuries, it doesn't seem like he's ever in his age now. Because he's not old, but he's not young.
How old is he? Do we know? I'll look it up. You keep talking.
Yeah, 29 probably.
29,
He's in his seventh season.
Yeah.
So he's one of these guys that is not as electric athletic. Like, he's not the honey badger level of athleticism. And he's not necessarily going to be as great in man coverage as a slot corner as he was when he was younger. But he's still really athletic for a safety. And he's still got a certain headiness about him and a versatility about him. That, yeah, he could end up, if they end up being good for a few years, he could be this. He's not going to be Ed Reed. Is he going to be a Palomalu?
Troy Polamalu is who I think of.
Yeah, and he's not quite it. I mean, Polamalu was just such a unique individual and type of player. But in terms of, I guess, maybe the caliber of player he is and the fact that he's on good teams, he'll be Polamalu level. He won't be Ed Reed level, but he'll be Polamalu level. Really, really good safety on a really, really good defense.
I think he's unique. He's unique in a different way than Polamalu is, but I think one of the reasons why Matthew's game is going to age really well, it goes back to his time at LSU. He was like a three-star recruit at LSU. He was one of the least decorated guys that LSU brought in his recruiting class, but he found his way onto the field, Seth, because he's just got this innate sense of being around the football, of making big plays. He's undersized. He's only 5'9". Like, he's a tiny dude. He's 27 years old.
Yeah. Oh, so 27. Okay, yes, he's really young.
So he was young when he came into the league, which matches
wear
up with
and tear.
He does have wear and tear. No, he does have wear and tear. So anyways, back to the bigger picture. So Matthew, they got me thinking about, okay, who else in this Super Bowl stands to individually gain in terms of their resume and their legacy? Matthew was one that I thought, obviously both QBs, because quarterbacks, these are two quarterbacks who I think we assume are going to be in the mix for playoff runs like this for the next 8 to 10 years. So I think the two QBs are obvious ones.
Garoppolo, and it's funny, Garoppolo, for all of the team success, I feel like people are trying real hard to create a controversy out of the fact that he only threw the ball 8 times in the championship game, but I don't think it has any teeth. I think that I almost see more people arguing against an argument that's not even there. Because Richard Sherman, you know, will call people idiots that say that the team was trying to protect the team from Garoppolo. Yeah. I think everybody
knows that Kyle
Shanahan's going to do what works.
Yes.
Kyle Shanahan, and if they're trying to take away the pass, then you run the freaking ball on them. If it's effective. And even if you're running an 8-man front, you keep running the ball until it stops working. That's one of the things I love about Shanahan. There are a lot of offensive coordinators that kind of outmaneuver themselves because they start thinking too far ahead. You know, they start trying to make things more complicated than they need to be. They're trying so hard to anticipate what the defense's response is going to be that sometimes they don't realize, oh, I'm physically beating the crap out of this team. This is all I have to do.
Yeah.
And then that, and the other thing that happens there too, and this is where Garoppolo benefits from being Shanahan, is it's a complete tendency buster. It ends up, the great thing about that championship game is that now they haven't had to put any of their passing game on film the week before the Super Bowl. They've got all the percentages are all screwed up in terms of what they like to do in various situations.
Mm.
So when teams start to try to game plan for what you do in specific scenarios, it's a really cloudy picture because you've got these outlier games where, they'll just go ahead and run it on us.
He's like, thanks for nothing, Green Bay.
And the Chiefs' run defense has improved, but I'm not 100% convinced. And despite the fact that I put more of it on Derrick Henry's wear and tear than I put on Kansas City's run defense that they limited him in that game.
So I came up with a short list of players who stand to gain the most, players and coaches, and actually one other non-player, non-coach, whose legacies would be most impacted by a win in the Super Bowl. Both quarterbacks, Tyrann Mathieu, we've mentioned. Andy Reid, I think, is an obvious one, right? I mean, Andy Reid is the only thing separating Andy Reid from the other coaches that are at the top of the overall wins chart that he's, I believe, fifth or sixth overall on, is a Super Bowl victory.
Go back to the quarterbacks real quick.
Yeah.
Lee Steinberg, who is Mahomes' agent.
Yes.
He said that quarterbacks are kind of made into superstars in the Super Bowl. And he said, especially if they have one of two things, they're either handsome or interesting looking. And I can't stop thinking about that because his client is Pat Mahomes. Is he saying that Mahomes is handsome or is he saying that he's interesting looking?
Look, I'm not going to say Mahomes isn't handsome because his girlfriend looks like a psycho on social media and she might drive to Houston and cut us. Yeah. So I find him dashing.
Is he interesting looking? Which was he saying? Is he saying Mahomes is handsome or interesting looking?
I find Mahomes to be more interesting looking than handsome.
His hair is
kind of
poofed up and whatnot.
Hair.
And he's got the Kermit the Frog sound.
He's got kind of White Walker eyes going too. He's got very glassy eyes.
Oh, he does. Yeah. Doesn't he?
He's got very glassy eyes.
Well, and the one thing that always shocks me when he's standing next to Aaron Rodgers in that State Farm commercial is that he is a bigger guy. He's bigger than you expect.
Yep.
Or Aaron Rodgers is smaller than you expect.
Could be.
Aaron gets sensitive about that.
He did. Yeah, easy.
Aaron's girlfriend will drive over in your parking lot.
He'll estrange you from his family if you're part of it. So Andy Reid. Two other names I want to bounce off you. Richard Sherman. This would give him a second Super Bowl with a second team.
Yeah.
Two two different
Super Bowls. He's had a rebirth in the public eye this last year. Huh?
He's been a good player.
He's been a very good player. Yeah. He got into it with Darrelle Revis. Revis starts taking pot shots at him out of nowhere after the championship game, pointing out accurately that, look, Sherman is not the same man corner that Darrelle Revis was.
Right.
It's weird that Revis has to try to get himself back out in the limelight right now and win kind of, I don't know, just put himself back out there.
Maybe he's bored.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, this is what I would always say about Sherman. Look, Revis couldn't do what Sherman does, and Sherman couldn't do what Revis does. Mm-hmm. They're different types of players, and that's all there is to it.
The last one I have on the list, Jed York.
Oh, Jed York, the owner.
The owner of the Niners. And here's why. He's married into the DeBartolo family. Eddie DeBartolo was thought to be one of the greatest owners in the history of the league.
He's the son of...
He's the son-in-law of the DeBartolos, I believe. I believe he married into the DeBartolo family.
Well, his father married into the family.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, and then Jed's the son.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, either way, he's the owner of the Niners now.
Yeah.
The 49ers have been really good on his watch, and they've been a laughingstock on his watch. The one thing they have not done on his watch is win a Super Bowl. This would get him in line wherever he falls in the DeBartolo lineage. This would at least put him on par not on par because they won multiple championships, but it would at least validate his ownership as a Super Bowl championship owner.
Right. No, and he was looked at. You know, when Jim Harbaugh was there, he famously, allegedly, basically shooed Jed York out of a meeting once and said, men are meeting in here. He had a very controversial relationship, and a lot of people didn't trust this kid because he's the son of Denise DeBartolo and John York. John York married into the doctor. Dr. John York, by the way. People used to make a lot of fun of John York.
Gotcha.
Because that was the guy that married into the family and just...
Smooth move.
He once told a teammate of mine when he was on the 49ers that the owner that he most respected in the NFL was the Brown family. That's the ownership group because they were financially responsible.
Is that what we're calling that?
That's what it is. So Jed took over when he was young, and a lot of people clowned on him. So yeah, he has a lot to he had an image of a silver spoon in his mouth, kid that took over and didn't know what he was doing. He's learned a lot and he's done a really good job.
Yeah, that's right.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.